Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the evolution of consciousness. And I think there's no one more on the cutting edge of this evolution than Caroline Corey and her new movie coming out, Gods Among Us. She'll also be featured at Contact in the Desert in the next few weeks. That's May 19th to the 22nd. We're going to have a world premiere of Gods Among Us, which I'm very excited about. Thank you, Caroline.
Thanks for having me, Alan. It's very, very exciting. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, actually, we'll also be doing a talk in Los Angeles on May 17th at the Rama Institute.
Yes.
But what I'd love to talk to you today about is your whole idea of grid, the understanding, because lots of people have these ideas of grid and grid networks, and no one really has grounded it in a sort of science the way I see your work is. It's a metaphysical science you've created, and I think it's really brilliant. And so let's talk about your approach to what is the grid of creation, the grid of the earth, and how do you call it?
Yes. So for me, it started at a very young age when I started having direct experiences. So nobody taught me anything. I didn't go to any teachings. I didn't have a master or a guru or what have you. Because at a very young age, when I was 5 years old, I could see the subtle energy myself. So when I would look at a person, I could see it wasn't the aura, it was actually the structure of their consciousness. And of course, now we're, I'm summarizing the work of, three decades or what have you. So, but just to say that eventually I understood it wasn't just like little colors going around. I was seeing pretty much the DNA of that person. And I was like, whoa, this is very cool stuff. And I wanted to make sure I was understanding it correctly. And so I developed my own ability to perceive that subtle energy and discern, okay, that is the structure of consciousness as opposed to an emotional block that this person has or some sort of things like that. So because of that, it took me a while to understand how I was perceiving this energy. And eventually I got so much validation. I wanted to make sure I was on the right path and I wasn't just talking and I wasn't imagining things for sure, So I would get, for example, again, I'm summarizing. For example, I would see structures and patterns in locations and places that no one's told me about, So for one of them, I'll give an example that people may have heard about. It's, for example, about 15 years ago, I think, I was seeing these grid patterns around the different planets, and one of them was Saturn. And I saw this hexagonal pattern on the North Pole of Saturn. And I started...
Psychically, kind of intuitively?
No, it's like when I perceive subtle energy, I actually... it's like a video. I mean, it's very, very, very precise. And so, and I can even like focus like a camera, you focus and zoom in. And so when I saw the pattern over Saturn, I realized that this was a grid, planetary grid, just like ours, which I'm going to talk about in a second. And sure enough, I think years later, maybe 3 or 4 years later, NASA came up with these images, which people can look up. I think what mission was it? But anyway, it's on NASA, websites that they discovered this hexagon on the North Pole. And of course, they think it's some weather pattern or something like that. So this is just an example to say that what I was perceiving, I was getting validation. And there's on and on and on and on. So I knew I was on the right track.
I've heard people talk about that strange grid pattern on the North Pole of Saturn.
And so that validated what I was seeing even prior to that. And again, this is just one example, but it goes on and on. And so I had, I kind of knew that around the Earth was a specific grid system, a type of grid system. And so I could see that when I sat across someone, there was between me and that person a pattern. I mean, it was like a web, like a little bit like a spider web, but a little different. It was more like triangles. And so, but then when you look at bigger distances, the patterns were more complex and wider. And I could see that those patterns were actually an extension of the physical matter itself. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't like here's the body and here's this other thing. It was more of an extension, so that the geometry of matter itself kind of extended into that larger geometric pattern, this, you know. And so it makes a lot of sense. I was like, okay, so we are geometric patterns. The physical body is a geometric pattern. It can't be floating around in like nothing. You know what I mean?
Saying, because we're a geometric matrix, it has to be attached to a bigger matrix.
Exactly. And so that, you know, at a long time ago, I could see that and discern that. And eventually I saw that those patterns were coherent with not just the physical body structure and pattern, but with the physical brain as well. So eventually, fast forward, I basically was able to figure out, if you will, or even draw even the algorithm of that larger structure. And it's basically,
how were you able to determine the you know, the dimensions and the algorithm of the larger structure?
Exactly. So because I saw that it was pretty much an extension of anything that's matter, anything that's the human body. For example, I started with the Earth because it's a planet, it's the grid of the planet within which we exist. I mean, the human body exists. And so what happened was I started with the geometry of the planet itself. And, you know, you don't start with the geometric pattern, because where did this geometry come from? The tetrahedron, where did it come from? You always start with the force that creates pattern, that brings geometry together, that brings shape together. And that is what I call zero point. It's like the first, if you will, like a black hole, like a massive.
All creation localized matter energy.
Exactly. So that matter and
it's localized, right?
Yes. And so you start with that force, and which is, again, let's imagine for those who are listening, maybe a black hole of some sort, but it has a gravitational pull. So from that sort of force, if you imagine that is the core of the planet, the matter, the way the planet itself starts to get created, is by pulling these first shape together. The first shape is a tetrahedron. I think many people have already got far.
Solid. We don't have to re-educate people in the basic sacred geometric form.
Exactly.
The tetrahedron, the three-sided shape is what they say, the basic form.
Exactly. And from that, you know, you have to pull not just one, but you have to pull eight in order for the first structure to be stable, if you will. And those eight tetrahedra are the vector equilibrium that also many people talk about.
Is this also a Sri Yantra as well? Would it also form that, or no? You know, in two-dimensional form.
Not yet. So that is
tetrahedrons is a vector equilibrium.
Yes, eight tetrahedra is a vector equilibrium. So now we have an actual structure. In fact, I can show you maybe some images, and. Okay. So maybe I can just show you a couple images, because that way people can just, visualize. Let me see if I can share screen real quick.
Okay. So the vector equilibrium, I'm not exactly sure what that means, but I...
This is the vector equilibrium. You see, this is a tetrahedron. Do you see my screen? And then when you point eight of them to inwards around the center, this is a vector equilibrium. And if you notice, you start to see squares and triangles as well, if you notice. So you see it's starting to kind of give way, for other shapes, if you will.
Why is that? So you have the tetrahedron and eight, the vector equilibrium. What is so important about that?
Well, it's kind of like to complete, if you put two tetrahedra, it's not stable. I mean, how many does it take for it to be one structure? It takes eight.
And the purpose of the vector equilibrium in nature or in is for what reason?
Well, the base of you. How do you maintain a solid structure together? If you have one side that's off, and you know what I mean, like it has to always be pulled towards a center. Some people have created the flower of life, for example, pattern by stacking up tetrahedra. But that doesn't make sense, because what is up and down? There is no up and down or left or right. There is an in and out. And the in is the gravitational point that's holding the matter together. So that's why the shapes have to come together and be held together by the central point. And if you're starting with the tetrahedra, it's going to take eight of them to create that first base.
Would you say the vector equilibrium is the foundation for the matrix design or the
grid? Correct.
Okay.
So what happens is that some things start to happen because creating more and more and more pattern, to me anyway, that's a huge discovery that I have made a long time ago, starts always at a zero point, a gravitational point. So now look at this. Now you have all these points, these vertex points that are showing up. These vertex points are potential gravitational point for another layer. Does that make sense?
So yeah, does this vector equilibrium, is this an... what's the name of that shape it makes when you have eight together? Is this a hexagon?
That's the vector equilibrium. That's the vector equilibrium. So what happens is that you then always go back to the zero point, the vertex point that are now potential for another structure and another structure. So you take this point right here and you add on to it an entire structure, an entire vector equilibrium. So what this means is that you start with one point and now you have 12 points that are potential for these structures. And before you know it, this structure starts to grow and grow and grow and grow. And that's how the overall structure starts to come together. But something very important happens is that after the third layer, if you will, the structure remains the same. In other words, it's when you have the first three layers, it creates...
Wait, is the first layer the tetrahedron, the second layer the vector equilibrium, and the third layer is the tetrahedron, eight-sided vector equilibrium? Is that the third layer?
Yes. So, but no, it's an additional layer to this. It starts to look like this. You see, you keep adding more and more and more, you see? And once you get to three layers, something very interesting starts to happen that becomes a template, and there's a mathematical coherence with all future layers. It's kind of like the template that people call the flower of life, which is the base that then you can find over and over. So that's what happens in the same way. What happens is that these first three layers are one octave, actually. It's a bit complicated. We don't need to get into all that.
It sounds like the octave is based on the eight tetrahedrons coming together to form like a sort of scale, right?
But then you have to have three layers, you know, which create dimensions. And every time you have three, so every three, it's the same pattern. So this becomes very interesting, because what this means is that it takes three layers to be one, to create one octave. And then the next octave is also three layers. And then again, another octave is three layers. So this is, every time you create a layer, you're adding a dimension. That's another thing. It's very complicated. We're not going to...
A dimension of existence?
Do you mean? Yes. Because I want to tell you something. Because think about this. Geometry itself is like a container. You have to think about it this way. If you were sitting in a...
container, you mean?
Sorry?
A geometry is like a dimensional container.
Exactly. If you're sitting in a triangle, in a tetrahedron, if you're inside it, there's a resonance, there's a frequency, because the shape itself is a container, right? If you took yourself and you sat in a cube, for example, your experience is going to be different because the shape is different, the math is different, and the experience, the resonance, because it's a different frequency range, you see?
Yes.
So that's why when we talk about dimensions, we are having a three-dimensional experience because we are inside a container that is very, very specific, that has specific shapes. And so what's interesting...
Way to define multidimensional reality.
Exactly. So what we as we were creating these layers and dimensions and things like that, you can also, just to give a quick example, we know that if I were to, let's say, a musical instrument, for example, if I took a trumpet and I blew air through it, it's going to sound a certain way. Therefore, it's a certain frequency, but I'm still blowing air right in it. And if I take a trombone, for example, and I blew the same air, it's going to sound different, meaning it has a different frequency. And yet,
vehicle, you're saying.
Sorry?
It's a different vehicle.
Exactly. But I'm the same, blowing the same amount of air. So
would you say that spirit is like that? I'm just curious.
Exactly. So what this means is that if I am changing the container, I'm changing the frequency, therefore the experience. And so
I'm just saying, if spirit, whatever you want to call the universal force coming through different containers, there'll be different, everyone is a different frequency, but there are harmonious frequencies.
Exactly. So what happens is that when we did the planetary grid, the entire grid, and we understood that this grid has a purpose, and the purpose is to have multidimensional existence, not three-dimensional existence. Then I'm going to talk to you about why we're only having three-dimensional experience. That's a little bit, just in a few minutes. But right now, it's just to explain that this grid, it is why you're on the Earth and you have a 3D earthly experience, because you're inside this complex container.
Right.
So what happens is that, take a look. So let's say that this line right here is the line of the grid. This is not actually accurate in terms of proportion, but we had to fit it in a small piece of paper. But just to give you an idea. So this is the Earth. It's matter.
That line around it is the extension of the Earth grid. Is that what you're saying?
So this is the Earth grid. Let's say the boundary, okay?
That's 5,000 miles, you're saying?
It's about 5,000 to 7,000 miles. Okay. So what happens is that when you're inside, you're on the, you know, on the surface of the earth, you are then inside this container. And so the light that is coming from the galaxy, from beyond, from the universe towards the earth, that's coming to the earth, fractures. It's coming as a huge amount of information, but then it has to fit within this geometry. So it fractures like a prism. Mm-hmm. So the cosmic light is a particular frequency, particular color, a particular electromagnetic spectrum. But then when it arrives at the boundary and starts to filter through all this grid system, it fractures into colors and sound. And
let me ask you, why does the grid stop at 5,000 to 7,000 miles? Because doesn't the grid extend into infinite space?
Of course. So what happens is that, first of all, when we say boundary, it's not like one line in the sky, obviously. It's multidimensional and continues on. So what happens, it's more, if you can look at it as more of a protective layer or an ozone layer or something like that, if you will, that continues on to the rest of the universe. Of course, that's the point.
But does it become sort of like crystallized within the Earth's gravitational and electromagnetic spin?
Exactly. For a purpose, so that when you are coming to the earth, you're incarnating in a human body, you are entering, you are, you know, plunging from a massive amount of consciousness that is, you know, multidimensional, and you are now going inside that container, and now all of a sudden, all the colors are, you know, reduced, the sounds are reduced, everything inside that container is what we call the earthly experience. And so it serves a purpose. People have to realize that the grid is extremely important, and every planet has a grid that matches its geometry, its mass, its chemistry, and the type of intelligent life that is going to inhabit that place.
So the grid of the planet matches the grid of our human bodies.
And the brain.
And the brain, because the brain is the multidimensional vehicle that takes us beyond this earthly grid into other possibilities.
Exactly. So that's the reason why, if you went to Mars, for example, there would be another grid that fits Mars, that fits the size of Mars, that fits the atmosphere, the chemistry, the electricity, the electromagnetism, whatever, and fits the Martian brain, so that when you are on Mars, you have that Martian experience that is different than the Earthly experience, that's different than Saturn, that's different.
Is that why it's so difficult to stay present in the face of other ETs, because of their brain grid frequency is not harmonious with ours? I mean, I'm talking about the low-level ETs that are pretty physical. So we can't stay. So it also creates fear, because we don't know what to do with these other ET life forms because they don't match our frequency. And we're so used to beings and even animals matching our frequency, we know how to deal with them. But when we meet a being whose grid brain work is so different, we sort of panic. We're just traumatized.
Exactly. So that's why it takes some adjustment to do. When you decide to incarnate as a human, starting from limitless experience to a very defined 3D, and there's more to the grid, you know, I'm going to show you in a second, how you have an experience of time, space on the earth, how you have an experience of linear time, how you have the experience of communicating with that brain. All of this is extremely sophisticated. It's not like, oh, we're born in a baby as a baby and woof, there you go. It's a sophisticated creation of an intelligent species that fits within a container that's extremely sophisticated. We're going to show some images of that.
Let me just ask you, before we get there, I'm just curious about dolphins and whales who have very sophisticated brains that exist within a similar grid, but also they're probably much more connected to their multidimensional awareness.
Exactly. And so also as a side note, autistic children, again, I'm not generalizing, I mean, of course, not every single autistic person, but a lot of autistic children come in and they're not, their brains are not tuned into this grid. They're tuned into another grid. So you're looking at them and trying to communicate with them, and they're like, they, you know, they don't want to talk because they their brain is not within this container. It's with another container, which is usually the ones that I've worked with are galactic frequencies. So it's like a different frequency range. So their brain is not responding. The reason why everybody on the Earth, we look at each other and we understand, even we speak a different language, but we get each other because we're all tuned in, the human brain, to that same container, which is a frequency range.
That so, same grid, all human brains are sort of in resonance with each other, let's say, because we're all part of the same grid structure. Yes.
Exactly. And so this becomes a very important concept, because think about this. It's, you don't just create a planet and you send a bunch of, you know, intelligent beings and hope that they flourish. You create a planet with in mind a specific type of species that's going to inhabit it with a specific type of brain. So that, and if every planet is this way and all the planets are then connected by a bigger grid system that keeps it all connected, and then each galaxy is connected to a larger structure, now you have a hologram of planets and stars, and that is all perfectly connected, so that no matter where that intelligent species is within the universe, if you are down, all the way down on planet Earth or somewhere else in Andromeda, whatever, you are having the human experience or the Andromedan experience because of your brain. But this grid being multidimensional and being coherent with the larger grid, and the larger grid also gives you access directly to the universal consciousness.
But we have to make some adjustment, don't we? Because this grid is something we're not used to. So we have to do some kind of frequency adjustment in order to understand these different grids of creation. How do we do that?
Well, actually, it's the only adjustment we have to make is because we are not told this, we are not taught this information. We're taught that, hey, you know, if you don't see it, it's not there. Stop, you know, talking to invisible people. I mean, so we are shutting off the ability to tap into these other realities. But in fact, you are on the Earth, you are supposed to, in fact, your brain, like I said, your brain from the get-go, you don't have 10% capacity and then 20%, then 30%. Like, you don't increase linearly. It doesn't work this way. You use 10%, actually, you know, hopefully a bit more, but as you're having the earthly human experience, but you can directly, through a certain exercise, you can transfer to the full brain capacity, which it gives you access to all of the dimensions in the grid, and that gives you access to the beyond. So
it also gives us access to communicating with ETs.
Exactly. And you are supposed to be here on the Earth and be able to communicate with other Earthlings, and, you know, of course, that's normal with animals and this, that, but you're also supposed to organically be able to switch channels. You know, I teach that in the classes. It's you go through an exercise. It's basically as if you were on the AM frequency radio channel, but then you have to switch out. You have to literally go to the FM or something else, and then you switch to the channels that allow you to have a direct communication with anybody within the universe. And we're not talking about the ETs on the ground or whatever, because that grid is pathways, is highways to the entire universe. So
highways of thought, highways of frequency, or what?
No, they're pathways. We're going to show, we can show some images where there are openings and alignments to all the different planets within this galaxy, and then from this galaxy to other galaxies, and from other galaxies to the universe. So, right, and the information
as well. I mean, there's many universes as well, right?
Of course,
I mean,
of course. Yeah. Okay. So the idea is also when information comes from the universe, wherever it may come from, it doesn't matter. It could come from another galaxy or another even universe. It's coming in using that web system, again, super sophisticated, also through different laws, but we're not going to get there today. But so that using these cosmic webs, they can be broadcast instantaneously throughout the universe, whether you're a tiny little person on the Earth or some other dude on Mars or on Andromeda, whatever, everybody hears and gets the same information. So it's got that for a second.
I just also want to absorb the other part, these grid or these lines. They're instantaneous communication, not like you have to go from, it is from point A to point B, but it's an instantaneous movement. It's not like you have to take time to go across.
Because I can show you some images now, because the intersecting point of all the grid lines are zero points. I call them zero points, but they're like mini black holes. Or if people want to look at it this way, it's like a portal. And so there are three grid structures within one larger structure. And one of the grid structure is the communication grid system. And there's three communication. The one that's hexagonal, the one that's based on the tetrahedron, is the one that gives you the impression that you are existing through time space. That it gives you that sense of direction. It gives you that sense of time, linear time. There's another grid which is has a different shape, because all of these shapes are within each other, as I showed you. The more you build one layer over one layer over one layer, you now have these three grids within that one bigger structure. And
why you say there are three grids? Couldn't they be all the same grid with different facilities or possibilities for mechanisms?
Yeah. So there. I mean, it's the same grid, but it's like, you know, like three systems that are all coherent within one.
We're breaking it down.
Yeah, exactly. For people to realize that it's not just one thing that does everything. Because you asked me the question, do you go from point A to point B? Well, the cube octahedron grid, that's part of the whole grid, is the one that allows you to teleport, to transfer your physical body from point A to point B. How do you think you incarnate? I mean, like, where do you come from to take on a body? You come from somewhere. So how did you transfer that consciousness into the body? Like, you don't just like poof, you appear above the baby that's going to be born above the mother. Like, where did it come from? There are universal laws. This is not magic. It's not, you know.
We're giving the laws of incarnation, which is amazing.
Because this grid is the fabric of creation itself. It explains pretty much everything we are asking about. It's the most, to me, is super logical, and it makes sense. And so another grid system, another structure within that larger structure has an octahedron base, and that is the communication grid, meaning It's the internet, if you will. So if I am transferring thoughts to you and I'm here and you're in New York, and telepathic communication or intuition, when people's mothers sense that their kid is going through something or whatever, that thought spark, signal, if you will, was broadcast, but it's an actual spark of electricity, actually. It looks like that.
That's using octahedron patterns within the greater grid to communicate telepathy.
Exactly. And that octahedron pattern has intersecting points. So for example, let me see this is not the octahedron. I don't think I have it here, but
that's okay.
Yeah, so but that, if people know what it, I mean, they can look up what an octahedron is. But so that, excuse me, those intersecting lines are zero points. They're like tiny little black holes. So all of
I'm sorry, just not, because I want to keep up with your definition, because I know it's all, you know, you've really figured out, but I want to just take step by step in a way. So the zero points inside each of these intersections are all connected to each other instantaneously because it's the zero point.
Because they're, because of resonance. This means this means that, let's, if we were just to focus on the octahedron, you know, let's say pattern, there's all these, you see all these, this is not it, but let's say this is it. You see all these intersecting points, all of these points, they're, even though they look like one is here, one's there, one is over there, but actually because right. they are within one container, they're all talking to you, they're all the same resonance, the same frequency.
They're actually all the same point, but we're just seeing them as different points.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So they're part of the structure. But so this means that if I am inside a grid system and I have a zero point on this side and a zero point on that side, and then you around you have the same thing. Well, guess what? My zero point and your zero point that's close to are in resonance. So whatever I say here, you instantaneously get over there, and not just you and I, but everybody else in between.
Everyone.
That's the collective consciousness.
But wait, there is something, like if I tune into give you a telepathic message and someone else, not everyone's picking up that telepathic message, it'd just be me and you, so, but everyone could if they were tuned into that.
So if you and I were talking telepathically and the neighbor happened to pass by and they knew how to tap in, they could tap in. There is no secrecy, folks. This is open source, you know, because the cosmic intelligence broadcasts to the universe the same message to all of intelligent life. There's no, oh, I'm going to just tell you and make sure we not tell them. This is separation. This is, you know, and there is no such thing. There's one consciousness that receives all of the information equally and at the same time.
Plus, we are all one consciousness, and the zero point is a best representation of that because there's only one zero point, even though it appears like there's many.
Right, exactly. So now you realize it's this becomes a very sophisticated, creation that, you know, if you were to, you want to transport yourself from somewhere into a human body or from one point on the planet to, and if I want to teleport to you right now, well, I mean, I wouldn't do it live on camera, but
that would be great if you could.
I'm going to talk about that because people are like, well, you know, how does that work?
And let me just ask you, have you actually
Yeah. Okay. So I'm gonna tell you the problem, the thing. So what happened is that when you want to actually teleport an actual physical body, not consciousness. Consciousness can travel through the communication grid, through the time space grid, and you know, be anywhere out of body or in a different way. But when you are transporting an actual physical material that is not contained within a spaceship or some sort of material vehicle, you can actually, but what happens is that you have to, the particles of your physical body have to deassemble, if you will. Like they have to you have to change your frequency. First of all, you have to know how to do that. So the frequency of the physical body needs to be increased to a point that it kind of like starts to break up, if you will. And once you are there, you are part of an electromagnetic, like a chute, if you will, like it just like, you know, so you become almost, you use the electromagnetism of the black holes. Now you have to be inside a black hole to do that. You can't like the communication, the telepathic communication, I could be sitting here and the black hole is over there and I can send you a telepathic message. But if I want to transport myself, I have to be inside it, like a, you know. So the
how do you know where to materialize again? How do you set your destination?
Exactly. Well, it's all through consciousness, but here's the problem. So imagine that your physical cells are departicularized, meaning
what they showed in Star Trek, where
it's actually real, and then you because your consciousness is the one that is doing that. It's not the actual physical body. So the consciousness tell it to do it this way, and then to bring it down. But here's the problem, like I said, because you are now making your physical cells, which are actual particles of energy, be subject to the electromagnetism of the actual grid lines. Right. What happens is that the grid, which the grid of the Earth was dismantled and interfered with. It was broken up and interfered with by other entities. That's why we see the reality on the Earth now, because they created holes and blockages in that grid system. And we said earlier that the physical brain is coherent with that, and so
our physical brain is coherent with the dismantled grid. So this
is
into addictive behaviors, because there's no space for its continuity within the total universal grid that we really should be aligned with. Now, did the Archons do this? I mean, not that. Who did this to us?
Okay, so that's like happened 250,000 years ago. So, you know, this is from, you know, other entities that were exploring the galaxy and this planet, actually. And they started, you know, kind of experimenting with this.
Could you tell me that the grid was just rebuilt?
Yeah. So what happened is, just to follow this for people who are listening to this for the first time. So imagine, like I said, so you are here on the Earth and your brain is supposed to be coherent with this grid system that then is coherent with the universe. So then you are communicating directly with the entire universe. But if some guy, again, simplifying, comes and stands over here, on in the, you know, and blocks an entire area right above your head and creates a hole, an actual hole, it's broken. Well, the corresponding part in your brain, because your brain has the exact same structure, it has the three grids, it has the same, well, the one part in your brain doesn't have access, because there's a big hole in the road, if you will. Well, if I put a bunch of holes all around the planet, now I have pretty much affected everyone on the planet. And so you do that a year after another, hundreds of years and thousands of years and 250,000 years.
Every incarnation as well, so we get in the habit of thinking like we're these, have these holes in our grids. Anyway, go ahead.
Exactly, yeah. So that's the reason why humans, one generation after another, is now born it within that reality that's full of holes, that is disconnected from the universal consciousness. Well, after hundreds and thousands of generations, you get what you have on the earth now. So that is the reason why it's extremely dangerous to travel through that grid, because what the highway that is supposed to lead you from here to Saturn in one shot is blocked off, and so you're kind of being like detour, if you will. Again, we're simplifying. You're all of a sudden you're supposed to be your particles. Sometimes even you could have one arm stuck in one place and the rest of you somewhere else. Think about that. So it's extremely dangerous.
So, but now that the grid has been rebuilt, go ahead.
So what happened is that, and that's the reason why, and I hope a lot of people will relate to that, because since the year 2000, actually since 2000 years ago and since the year 2000, the main work that is being done is by, that is being assisted by, let's say, the universal consciousness and those beings, is to create a new grid. Because like I said, the grid holds the species together. The grid connects the species to the universe. And so that grid has been rebuilt. So it's not the one that was broken, but it was too damaged. It was just too damaged for it to try to stitch it together.
We are now free to teleport. So I just want you to tell people that it's okay to teleport again.
Well, no, not yet, because the thing is, what happened is that there's a new grid, but the problem is there's the new grid and the old grid. So they're on top of each other.
The old grid has not dissolved.
So we are still, kind of seeing the two separating. So if you're still trying to, use that, it's still not quite time yet, but soon, coming soon.
Tell me when you get the green light to go ahead.
I will for sure. But that also explains a lot of why also many generations and people have reincarnated over and over and have not been able to leave the planet, because you're supposed to finish your reincarnation cycle and leave and get on and go to another planetary experience or another galaxy. So now you have these.
I'm sorry, just but I'm just curious about you. Did you come from outside? I mean, your previous incarnation was from outside this grid in order to help us and people prepare for the new grid. Tell me a little bit about your incarnational cycle.
Oh, okay. So it's a little complicated, but I actually came from another universe kind of thing. So I came kind of knowing about this and kind of knowing what I'm supposed to do about this. And so that's why I understand this. I have this information in that way, but people need to realize that you need to rebuild a grid for an entire species. You are working on many different levels. So I'm working, for example, with other beings who are in human form doing something slightly different, but for that purpose. But there's also the energies and the consciousness that I came from and that, that are doing, their share on this level, at the boundary level and at the galactic level and on the universal level. So it's complex, but that's kind of part of,
I get it. So let's go back to this whole grid network then.
Yeah.
Because now I understand a lot more this second time through it with you. And I think people listening, watching will have to some of these terms and this understanding, because this does explain so much to me that I've always wondered about. So yes, go ahead.
Yeah. So, and so that's why now that the new grid is completed, The in fact, these people may relate to that. Now, what do you do with the old grid? You know, and people think that you have to fix. And what we talk about grid, we're talking about reality. We're talking about you and I talking about, you know, tapping into universal consciousness, becoming multidimensional the way you're supposed to be. And then you have other...
The way the brain works, sorry, and if old people and old people with the old grid is still attached to that, they're holding the old grid in shape through their addictions and their upset, whatever it is that is part of that broken grid, because most people are really identified with that. That's why it seems like the grid is still there, because we got stuck with it.
Exactly. So that's the reason why you say, well, wait a minute. So what, you know, if we build a new grid, so how come we still see chaos? We still see chaos because that grid is earthly reality. And people, like I said, people's brain are attached to that grid, creating that reality. So you're seeing the same violence, the same, you know, separation, anger and whatever, greed, all of that stuff. But what's interesting is that because the new grid is now in place, it's kind of like it's holding a bigger space within which is the other old paradigm grid and existence. It's kind of like if you're bombarding a virus with oxygen, pure oxygen. Eventually that virus is like suffocates. It's kind of like self-destructs. You don't do anything. You're just holding the space. You're just bringing that pure consciousness. That's what the new grid is doing, so that there's nothing to do, really. I mean, the old grid is...
unattached to your... I mean, try to disconnect from the, you know, the things that locked us in.
Exactly. So that's why, that explains why some people are still stuck there, because the reality is still there. But what's also happening, you're going to start noticing that big chunks of that old reality are going to start to collapse. It's going to collapse on itself. And that's kind of the things we're starting to see, maybe politically, economically, you know, we're starting to see all of these patterns that were there forever, kind of dug underneath, you know, this on a subconscious level. They're all coming up. Everything is coming up in a huge way for it to be so obvious, like it's in your face, you know, so that, you
know. Oh, you're so right about that. So, okay, where should we go next? So that's the structure of the new grid and the old grid, which is very, very valuable. I think the way to disconnect is to disconnect from the old earth patterns that have created this kind of stuck reality.
Yeah, so you know, everything also has to be, to me, because it started, I mean, everything is extremely valuable to have the experience yourself. It's one thing for me to say all this stuff, even though people resonate with it, but it's a completely different thing when they experience that information. When you feel that your brain, you know, is the perfect match to that grid. When you feel the difference between the transport grid as opposed to the time-space grid, as opposed to the communication grid, like you, because your brain is supposed to be a perfect match and perfectly mathematically coherent, you have that information on a cellular level. And so that's why I encourage people to, I have meditations, for example, and classes, so that they start to experience that information. And when that happens, it's amazing, because it's almost like you are awakening that information within yourself. It becomes you and becomes your truth. And you start to, from an authentic place, recognize, you know, whoa, I'm tuning into that new pure frequency, which is more me, and I'm discerning. It becomes so obvious, the contrast becomes so obvious, so that gradually you can detach the, you know, and much easier, because you've had that experience between the two.
Right. So I think we're running out of a little time on this program, but could you, in this subsequent series, because I'd love to do a series with you about this, could we do a little meditation next time where we hook our brain to the new grid and people will get a real experience of that?
Absolutely. So people can already go to my YouTube channel or my website. But do you want me to show real quick the Earth grid on the Google Earth real quick, just for people to visualize that, how it's, because it's pretty stunning to actually see it animated. If I can pull it up.
Also, when you have the experience, I know it would take a little time of my brain, or what it feels like, because I've probably done it at points where I didn't know I was hooking into the new grid.
But, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's the thing. And so when you start to discern one and the other over and over and over, then your brain starts to go, oh, wait, I'm not going there anymore. I'm done with that. I need to go here. So that's why it's important to do a little bit of training that way. And I'm happy to do that next time. But now maybe we could just show a quick visual how it looks, because that visual is just so interesting for people to visualize. It's still loading. It's a very heavy file. But in the meantime, also, Alan, if that's okay, that's the reason why I'm so excited about the film that I just did, because it shows the grid in this way, and it explains how it all works. So you can see this is just around the Earth surface, and it's just a few layers. But look at when we put all the layers together.
All the layers of the grid, you're saying?
Yes. All the layers of the grid, you see.
How many layers of the grid are there?
Well, this is we went as high as 18 levels. But like I said, this is just for the boundary. But then it keeps going more and more, I mean, further out in space. But, you know, it's a very heavy file, so it's hard to kind of...
Computer, you know. Yeah, it's a very... it takes a lot of computer space to
generate. Exactly, plus we're online. And this is Google Earth, so it's like live. So that's the reason why it's...
Live on Google Earth.
Yeah. This is live. So, I mean, what we can do is you see how there are pathways. When we talk about planetary alignments, you see how you open pathways and in specific regions of the planet. You see how it's like perfectly organized. You see openings here and here. So as the planet is rotating and doing all this sort of stuff, it's actually opening up to different energies and doing different things. And so this is real. I mean, it's not some new age concept where, you know.
So the next program will go through also how you devise these types of, like, where the patterns actually lay within the, the landmass and the sphere of the Earth itself.
You see, for example, if you're right here in Florida or somewhere else or in New York, you see that there are certain points. These are the juncture points we talked about. You see these points right here? These are the portals. So some of them are right on the ground. Some of them are above you up in the space, in the atmosphere. And some of them are... below you. You see, this is
are they stationary or are they moving these grid points?
Well, you have to imagine that the grid is like the energy field of the planet, so it's kind of part of the planet. And so you see how it's just every point on the planet has a line going through it at one point or another. So you can be sure, even through your living room or somewhere, you're going to have a grid line, or outside your wherever you are. But
what's some concentration points where there's many grid lines that come together.
Exactly. Certain parts on the planet are going to have three or four zero points right there. So it's a massive, massive portal.
Are they affected by other planetary grids, like astrological alignments, like the constellations themselves have grids that function in unison. So we're affected by different astrological signs because of their grid patterns intersecting with the earth grid and brain frequencies of who we are.
Exactly. And also for people to realize that, so some of there are 12 points that take you directly to another planet and then to the galaxy. So people need to realize that. But also sometimes the point is right on the surface, but sometimes it's right above you. You can see how it's not really on the surface of the planet. So you could be in a vortex space, but the actual portal or the zero point, if we were to plunge, look, if we go, you're on the ground and you look up, it's really cool. And so some of these points are above you up in space, and that's where you see the UFOs. The UFOs are not bouncing around any way you want. They, I mean, just like randomly, you see them. You see
them.
Yeah.
They travel. So they're also in the earth as well, of course, right?
Yeah, of course, it's all over. So you're on the ground here, and then you see a UFO. The UFO is not, it appears and disappears because it's using this particular zero point.
It goes through one zero point to get to another zero point.
Yeah.
I'll wrap up because I have an appointment.
Yeah, but, so we're going to wrap this up.
Can we continue this? So this is fascinating. This is amazing, incredible knowledge. This will change everyone's perspective on how we live on planet Earth.
That's great. And if we can remind people about the film, if they can go to godsamongus.com, because we have all these screenings, go to the events page, and we want people to see this, to see it live and to understand all of this. That would be great.
Well, thank you, Carolyn. What's your whole website normally?
For consciousness is omniumuniverse.com, but for the film and for this work, it's godsamongus.com.
Great. No, we'll pick this up as soon as possible. I know we'll make a series of this that we'll put on YouTube and radio, and we'll just go through it. And don't forget, people will be able to see Caroline at the Contact in the Desert and see the world premiere of Gods Among Us. But this will be an amazing ongoing series that I think will transform so many people looking for answers and not finding them anywhere. So
That's great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Talk to you soon.